Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Welcome back to Classic Business here on Fine Music Radio. Premier Group has delivered another exceptionally strong set of interim numbers, the kind that certainly stand out in what has been a brutally competitive and margin-squeezed FMCG environment. Revenue for the half rose 6% to just over 10.3 billion rand. But this certainly isn't a top-line story. It's a story of operational discipline and margin expansion. We saw EBITDA jumping 14%, operating profit 17%, and headline earnings surging almost 28%. Cash generation equally impressive, with free cash flow up 57% and the group's leverage dropping to just 0.7 times. At the same time, Premier is stepping decisively into its next chapter. The Aeroton Mega Bakery, one of the most significant bakery investments in the country, is coming online. And of course, the RFG transaction, which will create a nearly 30 billion rand revenue food producer, is moving steadily through its approval process. To unpack the results, I'm joined now by Premier Group CEO Kobus Gertenbach. Kobus, thanks for joining us. And you've delivered another strong set of interim numbers. As I said, the group's ROIC now sitting close to 25% in a market where most FMCG players are fighting margin erosion. You've actually expanded yours. So let's start there. What would you say are the key drivers behind that margin performance?
Thank you, Michael. I think our story started in 2011 when we decided to really look at reinvesting into the core facilities of the business, reinvested into the bakeries in particular, but also the malls, and then acquired a few businesses along the way. But in total, in the last 14 years, we're now probably close to about 7 billion rand of overall investment in our plant and equipment and our facilities. And I think we managed to find ways to build scale, to consolidate inefficient subscale operations, and to really drive increased operational performance through that investment over an extended period of time. And so I feel like, you know, the last 6 months is a bit of a snapshot of a short period of time, but it's a much longer story that has continued to build and that has continued to support the performance of our business.
Given that it is a much longer story, revenue in Millbake grew 6%, but EBITDA jumped 12%, margins widened to 14.7%. To what extent is that kind of run rate sustainable? Was this period unusually favorable because of lower maize and rice inputs, or have you structurally shifted the efficiency curve in that business?
Yes, Michael, we have seen significant reduction in grain prices, in particular, as you mentioned, in maize and rice. And so we were actually at the moment, and a big part of the last 6 months in the interim performance, we were subject to quite significant deflationary pressures. So raw maize prices are about 34% below where they were at the same period last year. And, as a fairly low margin commodity-based business, we ended up passing all of that through to the consumer. And so the end consumer saw a 12.5 bag of maize meal dropping by over 30% over that same period of time. And, against that backdrop of significant reduction in our sales prices, I think the 6% revenue growth was actually quite a strong performance if you take the underlying deflation of the commodity prices into consideration.
And staying with the consumer, you pass through input savings to burden consumers is a phrase that really stands out in these results. Is that a strategic decision to defend market share or a read on elasticity at current price points?
Michael, it's a highly competitive market. All the FMCG categories are hotly contested. There's multiple players in the market. There's competing brands. And certainly from our side, we try to remain as competitive as we can. We want to make sure that our products are priced at a level where consumers see value in the brands that they buy from us. And so it's really, in my view, just a very well-functioning capital market that drives that type of behavior.
Given that you do sell staples and they're not really discretionary items, are you seeing any impact from the rise of online gambling? I know a lot of the retailers have been flagging that in the results, saying it is having some impact on consumer wallets. Are you seeing that at all in your business?
Look, it's very difficult for us to have that granular type of view. And so it's difficult for me to say anything other than, I mean, the headline numbers are, I guess, a couple of billion rand going to online gamblers. But the reality is that in the last 12 months, just between the rice and the maize categories, we've effectively pushed 15 billion rand worth of money back into the pockets of the consumers through a reduction in the prices of those staple foods. So, in my mind, that is a very positive driver and must, to at least some extent, offset some of the more negative consequences of the growth in the online gambling industry.
Given that, I know the competition authorities have been honing in on food prices, which one could argue is really a bit of mandate creep. Do you think it's fair, some of the perceptions out there, that food prices are being driven by any kind of anti-competitive behavior, given what you've just said about how competitive the space is?
Look, I think it's very difficult. I mean, when you have, like we had last year, where it was really drought-induced increases in maize prices in South Africa in particular, I mean, most of our neighbors to our north didn't have enough maize production to sustain themselves and were dependent on importing maize from South Africa, which put more pressure on our stocks. And the same situation happened on a rice, but at a global scale, where India perceived to expect a lot of dry conditions and were worried about their own rice production and closed their borders for all exports of Indian rice. And the reverse has now happened. You have this global grain stocks where rice stocks are ample, maize stocks globally are looking strong, and wheat is also looking great. So I think when you hit the inflationary side of a climate-induced shortage of a core staple, then it's just natural for consumers and for regulators to perk up their ears and say, but is there some unscrupulous activity going on here? And I think it's really to just look for the other side of that curve, like we've experienced now, to really then test whether the market is functioning well. And I certainly, from my perspective, feel it's absolutely functioning correctly.
Looking at your Aeroton Mega Bakery, phase one is now finally commissioning this month after 3 years of investment. What step change in efficiencies or product quality do you realistically expect to see from February onward?
Michael, I think we first and foremost, are going to close down three bakeries that are over 30 years old with technology that hasn't kept up with the time, and certainly from a scale perspective, are not able to realize the efficiencies that a new bakery can do. So for us, first and foremost, it was driven by a need to remain the lowest cost producer in the country and operate at levels where we can then make a margin for ourselves vis-a-vis the competitive set in the country. But as you said, I mean, we really do expect a big step up in the consistency and the quality of our product, the taste profile, and the just a consistent bake of the bread into the market. In all other markets in the country where we've managed to do exactly the same, we've seen a huge response from the consumers recognizing that the step up in quality. We really are excited. I mean, we've been waiting more than 3.5 years now for this facility to come on stream. It takes a long time to do all your planning, get all your planning approvals, and we shut the bakery down in July 2023. So it's been 28 months of construction to get to the point where we're now ready to open it up. And so I really do think the consumers are going to benefit from this significant investment.
That's huge. Just give us a peek into what that scale looks like. How many loaves of bread do you send out of Aeroton, or will you be sending out of Aeroton following this investment per day?
Well, Aeroton's design capacity is 16,000 loaves per hour. So that equates to roughly about just over 10 million loaves a month that will come out of that facility and get sold into the market.
Yeah, quite literally feeding the nation there. I see CapEx to revenue is now around 5%. Should investors see this as a temporary peak or the new run rate for the next few years?
Look, we did reach a bit of a peak because we spent over 700 million rand building Aeroton, so we certainly picked up a lot of that expense in this interim period. But we're busy with a number of other projects. I think it's probably at a cyclical, a bit of a high, but we certainly don't expect to now be at the end of our investment cycle. I think we've got a lot of good ideas, a lot of good projects underway, and we will continue to make the right investments going forward. So I think a slight step down, but certainly not stopping the investment program.
Looking at groceries and international now, seemingly growing revenue faster than Millbake at 8%, but maybe off a lower base, EBITDA up 14%. Do you see that division finally reaching the scale and the stability that you've been investing towards?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, when we got involved with the personal care, the femcare business in Lillette's and Dove Cotton Wool in 2013, the business didn't manufacture anything itself. And the biggest part of its product portfolio was all imported from overseas. And, you know, since we've owned it, we've opened up a factory in Durban. We've invested in manufacturing capacity. And we've really stepped it up in the last year by putting a pads and a liners line and automated packing in and so forth. So a big part of the expectation for that business in particular is the improved margin that we will get from manufacturing locally and not importing anymore from overseas. From the sugar confectionery perspective, it really is a story about us partnering quite heavily with Woolworths. We've onboarded most of Woolworths' own branded candy and chocolate ranges, over 150 different products that we started to make for Woolworths that we didn't make before over the last 12 months. And, you know, that step up in revenue and profitability from that business is really coming to fruition now.
Turning now to the balance sheets, I mean, free cash flow jumped 57% to 913, cash conversion hit 70%, and on the balance sheet, net debt is now all the way down to 1.75 billion rand. So, I mean, leverage very low at 0.7 times. With RFG pending, how do you think about the right leverage band for Premier going forward?
Look, I think for a listed company in our industry, maintaining a gearing ratio of somewhere between 0.5 and 1 times your EBITDA really is a good, efficient balance sheet. Because we're doing the Rhodes transaction as a complete share-for-share transaction, we're not actually incurring any debt in the acquisition. And so, you know, we were at a point where we had to start to think a little bit about what one does with the extra capital that we've generated and how to structure the balance sheet optimally. And that's why we've launched the general buyback of Premier shares now. We'll start shortly. And it really is focused on trying to see whether we can buy back some of Premier shares and make sure that our capital structure is as efficient as possible. So that'll start up in the next few days.
And also potentially a signal that you believe the market might be undervaluing the business?
Look, I've steered far away from expressing views on what a fair valuation is. But I think, you know, the information is out there in the market. We've been very grateful that our investor base has increased. You know, when we listed in 2023, we had five institutional investors. And today, our share register records over 300 investors. So we've certainly grown the width of the investor base. And I think that that combined with a strong track record of earnings growth has really put us in a position where our share price went over 170 rand a share today. So so I think, you know, I'm just grateful that the business does get the recognition of the performance that it has delivered.
Yeah, up there, 52-week highs. Talk to me about that RFG acquisition, though, which does lift you to almost 30 billion rand revenue. When you look at the earnings accretion levers, where do you see those coming from? Is it cost, procurement? Is it manufacturing? And maybe you could just quantify what you expect those early synergies to unlock.
Yeah. The basic premise is that Premier and Rhodes doesn't compete with each other on a single product, and we don't supply any products to each other either. So it really is a very complementary acquisition for us in combining the two businesses. And so because of that, you know, not a single factory anywhere will get consolidated or as a result of the merger. And so we've come out very strongly and said that we will not engage in any merger-related job losses. So that is a very strong position we've taken. But if you look at having two businesses listed on the JSE, we certainly wouldn't double up on the size of our board. We wouldn't need completely two different sets of auditors. There's opportunities in combining insurance programs, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, if you look at all of those opportunities, we think in the short term, there's some nice savings that we can have just from duplicate services and suppliers. And then in the medium term, look towards integration of logistical infrastructure and merchandising and a lot of other areas. And then I think the combined business is also at a level where we would feel comfortable to accelerate some of the investment, especially in the roads portfolio, where we feel that there's lots of opportunity for growth.
And obviously, RFG shareholders offered a significant premium. They'll end up owning roughly 22.5% of the enlarged group. How have investors responded to the dilution? And just as we wrap up, Cobus, when you look out, your commentary does note grain deflation as a key tailwind. How sensitive is Premier's margin outlook to potential rebounds in wheat or maize prices?
Well, I think that just to answer your grain question and prices, you know, we've over the last, since we've listed, we've seen low prices, we've seen high prices, we've seen a decline in prices. And we certainly, I think over the last, certainly the 15 years that I've been involved with Premier, have seen almost every movie out there. And, you know, there's ways for us to continue to manage our margin and manage our business through those cycles. So I'm not too concerned about that. We will always find a way to make work and within the industry and the confines of the pricing environment. And I think we've got a track record of having delivered that. So we certainly don't see that as a major problem.
And then just lastly on that RFG dilution, has there been any concern? Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, we even though we offered quite a nice premium for Rhodes, Rhodes was trading at a very low valuation on the JSE. And I think it was far below what fair value was on the business. And so the fact that we offered a premium was probably just lifting the business closer to fair value. And it was still at a valuation that is a significant discount to Premier's own valuation. And so from day one, the acquisition will be earnings per share enhancing, even though there will be more shares in issue. So I think it's a great combination. It's a magnificent opportunity for both businesses. And I certainly think that the shareholders that will back us in this process will reap the benefits of that.
Fantastic. Cobus, the market loving these results, the standout share on the JSE on the day. And it's all about that disciplined execution. Great pleasure having you share your insights with my audience here on Classic Business. Take care.
Cheers, Michael. Thank you very much.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.